You're listening to Studio 360, and I'm Kurt Anderson. Think of the British and European film dramas you've seen in the last few decades. Juliette Binoche was probably in a lot of them. The Unbearable Lightness of Being, Wuthering Heights, The English Patient, Cachet, Chocolat.
Well, if you're expecting me to just shrivel up and blow away, you're going to be highly disappointed.
She is the go-to actress for roles that are sensual but with complexity, gravitas. Her latest movie, Clouds of Sils Maria, just had its U.S. premiere at the New York Film Festival. It is a very sly meta movie where reality blurs a lot with fiction. Binoche plays a French star whose breakthrough role came years ago as a young, ambitious girl. And now, many years later, Maria is asked to appear in that same play, but this time as the older woman.
I played Sigrid when I was 18.
And because you were Sigrid, only you can be Helena now.
And the play tells a simple story. An older woman falls in love with a scheming girl that has her wrapped around her little finger. The girl takes advantage of her, squeezes everything she can out of her, then dumps her.
It's called The Real World. Welcome.
That's Kristen Stewart as the assistant. Chloe Grace Moretz plays the young actress. And Juliette Binoche is the star. Welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you.
I understand that you had the germ of an idea for this film, and you went to Olivier Assayas with it. Is that right?
Yes, I phoned him one day, and I said, you know what? I think you should write about the feminine. We need women on screen. And I thought of those three characters and having three points of view and them exchanging roles, actually. And I
sounds kind of abstract as an idea.
Yes, but at the same time, I felt like because I had worked with him before, you know, in Summer Hours, and he's such a wonderful writer, I thought, you know, Olivier is the person I'd like to do the film with.
Yeah, which is why you called him up and said, hey, I've got this idea, write me a movie. Yeah.
Well, it's an invitation to writing. It's not like, write me this movie. You know, it doesn't happen like that.
It has to
be a little more subtle.
I understand. You seduced him. Figuratively speaking.
You know, seduction in English is not the same meaning as séduction in French.
I know, I'm using the French version.
Do you know what it is?
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean sexual seduction.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Very good. You speak French?
No, but I can pretend. At one point in the movie, there's a very funny scene where you and your personal assistant, played by Kristen Stewart, watch a ridiculous Hollywood sci-fi movie with a heroine who has superpowers. And afterwards, you're both analyzing this film.
Well, I stayed because of you, but I could feel my brain cells dying one by one.
Okay, but you don't find her amazing? I think she's totally fascinating.
It's such a stupid character. Come on.
Because it takes place on a spaceship? I know that if it was set on an assembly line or like a farm or something, you'd love it.
That's true. I have a hard time taking bimbos in astronaut suits, mouthing out some generic pop psychology seriously. Been there, done that.
That was Juliette Binoche and Kristen Stewart in The Clouds of Sils Maria. Been there, done that. A lot has been made over the years of the fact that you turned down a role in Jurassic Park and turned down a role in Mission Impossible and turned down a role in some Indiana Jones sequel. So this year, shockingly, you show up in Godzilla.
Yes.
Did you change your mind about Hollywood?
Well, first of all, it started with a letter of Gareth Edwards, the director. And I was touched by his words and his demand. And I said, my son, you know, oh, guess what? And
You've got a 20-year-old son.
Yeah, and he loves Godzilla. So in a way, it was from him, but not only. It's because it was fun for me to be in something new.
Uh-huh.
And also, it was great prep for Sils Maria.
How so?
Well, because it was just before I shot Sils Maria. And I'm saying, been there, done that.
Oh, I see. You had been there. I see. The fiction and reality just don't stop blurring.
You know, things come to you in a mysterious way. And sometimes you say, that's it. That's what I needed to do.
In order to say that line believably, you had to be in Godzilla.
Exactly.
There's a kind of motif in a lot of your early films. You play young women who are very sensual and comfortable with nudity. In Damage, which was your 1992 movie with Jeremy Irons, there are graphic sex scenes, and you're also this silent, cryptic character. Was that difficult?
Well, acting is difficult. actually, when you use as an object in a film, as a woman as an object in a film, that becomes a problem. But when you're a subject going through love or, you know, whatever, you know, you need to go through, then it's, for me, it's another story. It's like paintings without nudity. It wouldn't be, you know, the history of painting. It's part of, you know, what art is and what human being is. We don't, you know, we don't come to the earth fully clothed. We're naked. There's something about being bare that is very, makes you vulnerable and truthful.
Mm-hmm.
But how it's used can be tricky. And that's how, you know, as actors and actresses especially, you've got to be intelligent. You know, it happened even in Blue, Kieslowski, who's, you know, one of the greatest directors. And there was a scene where I was supposed to walk naked in a room. And I said, why do you need me naked? And he didn't really know what to answer. And I say, do you know how many questions I have about nakedness and how difficult it is? It's a weight for me and I don't need it. And after a while, he came back to me and said, we won't do it. When uh-huh. it's necessary
uh-huh.
for the storytelling, when I feel like, yeah, she's exposed, she's in love. Yes, I go for it because I think it's part of life.
Yeah. You won your Academy Award for The English Patient, in which you played a nurse at the end of World War II who is looking after this horribly burned man, played by Ralph Fiennes.
This is in your handwriting, is it?
Yes, it is.
December 22nd. Betrayals in war are childlike compared with our betrayals during peace. New lovers are nervous and tender, but smash everything. For the heart is an organ of fire. For the heart is an organ of fire. I love that. I believe that.
You have won a zillion awards, Best Actress at Cannes and Berlin and Venice and the Caesar in France. Was winning an Oscar just another award, or was that a special thing?
Of course it was a special thing, but I didn't believe I was going to get anything. And so when they called me, I was very surprised, and I was ready to give it to Lorraine Bacall. Everybody was expecting she was uh-huh. she was going to get it, and yet she didn't. You know, she didn't stand up. She didn't come. So I thought, you know, in a few seconds, okay, I'll keep it then.
And so then the next day, you just went back to work, or did the Oscar change your career?
Well, I was during that period of time, I was offered quite a lot of things, and just I think probably by a way of protecting myself, I went back to Europe and to
avoid going Hollywood?
No, to because there's a sense of guilt, you know, when you're successful in France. And and so I think I was going through my guilt. Huh. I was hiding a little bit.
Huh. You have worked with a lot of great directors like Kieslowski, like Godard, like Anthony Minghella. Given how obviously interested you are in this ineffable relationship between directors and actors and the process of filmmaking, I'm surprised you haven't made a film as a director.
I'm surprised too. Well, of course I've been thinking about it. But at the same time, I have to say that I've been working with so many great directors that really allow me to be part of the direction. And I love staying on set. I think that's really has been a key for me, that instead of going away in the trailer.
Really?
Or going in a dressing room, wherever, you stay on set and you see what's going on and how this shot is going to be, you know, decided.
So you've had all the training. You've stuck around the set. You can do it tomorrow.
Yeah, but you have to choose the subject you want to say. You know, that's mainly what it is, because putting a camera, it's not that difficult. It's like, how do you want to tell the story? And, you know, that's the real thing.
You have, I discovered, painted for most of your life. Really nice portraits, by the way.
Thank you.
Some of your paintings appeared in a movie you did last year called Words and Pictures. Why do you paint?
Why not?
Well, because you've got lots of stuff to do, or
no,
not.
No, it's just that as I remember my mother, we didn't have a lot of money, but there was a moment she earned some money. She wrote some
she
books.
She was an artist, right?
Yeah. She bought 100 books of paintings and sculpting. And so I got passionate about those books. And every weekend I would take one or two and I would copy, because I wanted to enter those paintings. I wanted to enter those sculptures. And
right.
so
but lots of people have that story, and then they go to university and they become adults and they stop doing it. You've kept
Well,
doing
I stopped for a while, but then, you know, being living with Lewis Carax, and he was writing a script and was a little bored. And so I would start, you know, drawing him and painting. And then he wrote that I was painting in the script, in the story. And that's how Lovers on the Bridge, I'm a painter, because he saw me drawing.
I'm telling you, your fiction reality thing is just, that's the motif of Juliette Binoche's life, I guess. Well, I'm eager to see your next films. I'm eager to see more art. Juliette Binoche, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Juliette Binoche's latest movie, Clouds of Sils Maria, just premiered at the New York Film Festival, and it comes out in theaters early next year.